Welcome to a bonus episode of ESC 101. Today, I've decided to take a look at the Irish National Final that just took place on Friday. I'm going to react to the six entries and reveal my own personal rankings. Let's find out if I agree with the juries or the public on who they should send to the Eurovision Song Contest 2024. This is ESC 101. The Irish National Final Eurosong 2024 took place on Friday, January 26, 2024. The program featured six potential entrants, one of whom ended up winning the chance to represent Ireland at the Eurovision Song Contest 2024 in Malmö. Eurosong 2024 takes the form of a special edition of The Late Late Show with Patrick Keelty, not to be confused with The Late Late Show with James Corden, which apparently got cancelled in 2023, so I guess there's no more confusion and there's only one Late Late Show. This Late Late Show was hosted by Ryan Tuberty up until last year, when he stepped down as the presenter after 14 years due to some controversy, which is a story for another time. Now, I'm not going to launch into a long-winded argument on using a talk show as a national final format. Spoiler alert, I'm not a fan. But I've recently learned that there are lots of circumstances involved in Ireland's broadcaster choosing this format, and there are reasons why they do their national final this way. I'm not happy about it, but it is what it is. I'll explore Ireland's Eurosong once I do a Eurovision travel guide episode on Ireland. Of course, if you are looking for a more Irish perspective on the contest, I recommend the Eurovision podcast, as they are Irish Eurovision fans that quite frankly do more promotion of Ireland in Eurovision than RTE do. They are fantastic not only in talking about the Irish fandom in Eurovision, they also talk to past contestants, heads of delegation, and of course they chat with the artists vying for a chance to go to Eurovision for Ireland. I'll leave a link to their podcast in the description of this bonus episode and on the Instagram post. Now, before I get into my review of the six acts, I want to remind everyone that my thoughts on these entries are my own. You are free to disagree with them, and the critiques I give are meant to be constructive and never out of hate. Each artist put a lot of effort into their entry and deserve the credit of having the courage to put themselves out there like this, and I commend them. I will judge the entries honestly from my position as a Eurovision fan, and it isn't going to be all positive. Everyone has room to grow, and everyone has room to shine. So, with that being said, let's delve into the six acts which aimed to represent Ireland at Malmö. First up is Isabella Kearney with the song Let Me Be the Fire. I see you in the distance, how you find it, high ground. Say that you're still missing, but I feel you all around. Am I getting closer? I keep following the sound, ringing out. It's so loud. Did you call, or did I? I have to be honest, the studio version of this song disappointed me. I was intrigued for the first 45 seconds of the song, hoping for a power chorus, but the energy dropped, and this simply feels safe to me. This is the kind of entry that Ireland typically goes for. This is not me saying it's a bad song, the vocals are on point, but I've heard this before. The lyrics ask, "Are you tired of the highs and lows?" And the answer to that question is yes. I am tired of this kind of song. The live performance unfortunately did nothing to elevate this entry. This faced a similar problem to Portugal 2023, where there is too much red on stage. Isabella is in red and the staging is fire-colored, which fits for the theme of the song, but she gets lost in the whole scene. I would have preferred to see her in a different color to let her pop on stage. Vocally, she's good, but those backing instrument players have got to go. They contributed literally nothing to the performance. Replace them with backing dancers, and it probably would have given me something beyond this simple performance. Overall, this song is middle of the road, this performance is middle of the road, and middle of the road is what Ireland keeps sending to Eurovision, and middle of the road just simply isn't enough for Eurovision. The second entrant is Bambi Thug with the song Doomsday Blue. About a
The places I touch while lying in bed, the visions of you, the words that you said undo. My heartbeat buried in the ground, and to the strings I bind your bound, so when you sleep, you'll hear my sound. I know you're living a lie. I see the scars in your eyes.
The first 30 seconds of the song builds into a soundscape of pure insanity, as if someone is at their final breaking point and have been pushed off the edge. It's like a horror film condensed into a song. But after those 30 seconds, I expect a huge explosion of anger that would be like an atomic bomb dropping on all the haters and naysayers, like a doomsday boom rather than a doomsday blue, which is what I felt because rather than an explosion, the energy drops into a ballad, which I'm personally not a fan of. I want the screaming, the anger that naturally fits into the rest of the song, the demonic voices in one's head, the sheer explosiveness of anger, but the chorus has none of that and it just doesn't speak to me. In my opinion, this song feels like it's trying to be two different things, and for me, it just doesn't work. The vocals are fantastic, and I love the heavier elements, but I am left musically unsatisfied. The live performance actually surprised me in a good way. It sounded great. Vocally, it was much clearer compared to the studio version, and I preferred the live performance, which is really rare. Thank goodness this has backing dancers because it enhanced the angry elements, and I actually loved the screen work behind them, showing various Celtic and pagan symbols, which enhances the darker elements of the song. And I love a lot about this performance, including the lighting, the makeup, the costuming. But the same issue I had with the song arises in the live performance. The quiet ballad part ruins the mood of the song, and I would prefer to just keep the angry demonic elements. The quiet portion feels repetitive, and I just want to rip that out and hear Bambi Thug scream bloody murder instead. I also love the part when the lights go red, it just makes their look even better. I love their vocal abilities, and with the exception of the repetitive ballad portion, their presence on stage was just awesome. The live performance elevated this entry, and I'm glad it did so. The third entrant is J Yellow L featuring Toshin with the song Judas. Either get a plate fixed or be the one to fix place. Running on the streets, well expect to get your skin scathed. Working through the weekends, that's Saturday and Sunday. Hoping we can see M's and I can lay someday. Hoping we can see M's and I can lay someday. Be as consistent as all of my mom's prayers. We will see M's and I can lay someday. And keep that smile on my mom's face, God's grace. Hey, if you can hear me now, you never wear my crown. You're not gonna hold. You're not gonna hold me down. J Yellow L can rap. My goodness, that is some seriously good rapping. He has a fantastic rhythm and his vocals are crystal clear. I don't normally listen to rap music, and the rap music that I typically hear on the radio is barely understandable because they're mumbling or yelling. This is clear. It's easy to follow, and it's definitely not your typical Eurovision entry. The vocals provided by Toshin are solid, and they add a nice balance to JLOL, but it doesn't feel complete. The rapping portion feels raw, which lacks depth for Eurovision. This feels like an audition song rather than a competition song, but perhaps I'm biased because I don't typically listen to rap music, and maybe I have no idea what I'm talking about. On its own, it's a great song. It's clear, it's solid, it's just not for me. JLOL is a fantastic rapper. Toshin is a good vocalist, and I think his rapping and her vocals are a great contribution to the Irish music scene, breaking the stereotypical mold of Irish music and bringing new flavors to help inspire other artists to experiment and try new things. In terms of the live performance, it's interesting that they added the dancers as the song progressed rather than starting with everyone on stage at the same time. I kind of liked it that way, adding the first two male backing dancers, acting the scene, and almost bringing the rap into a different dimension. Toshin's addition on stage felt a bit extra, as if it was attached rather than part of it from the beginning. I feel like she should have had a more prominent role in the overall performance and given a little bit more direction. It felt like she was randomly walking along the stage not knowing what to do. The female dancers add even more dimension to the performance, but there is one thing that bugs me, and I say this with love. JLOL, I absolutely love your style and fashion choice. I thought you looked fantastic. Toshin, I really hope that you didn't make this decision, because if you did, I'm sorry, but that outfit did you no favors. You are beautiful. You have a great style. That outfit was hideous. It literally looked like a grandma's quilt sewed onto some green curtains, and it did absolutely nothing to highlight the beauty that you have. I would have loved to have seen you in a style similar to JLOL, or even in a sequin dress, just not in that outfit. It didn't belong with the song, or any song for that matter, and despite the outfit, you still looked great on stage. But that being said, this song just doesn't have enough dimension for Eurovision. On its own, it's a solid track and a good performance, but it just doesn't have what I think Eurovision needs. The fourth entrant is Ailsa with the song Go Tobin. I'll start off with an apology to any Irish listeners out there for butchering your language. I'm not the greatest with languages, and the Irish language is beautiful to listen to and hard to pronounce. It's wonderful to have an Irish language song in the national final, and I would have loved to have seen more of the language in Eurovision, but alas, there is only 1972. Listening to this song, I'm even more confused than I was before, and I can't tell if that's in a good way or a bad way. Listening to the studio version of this song, I could not understand a single word of the song, and there are English words in the lyrics. Not many, but there are some. I struggle with the song because there's a lot of instrumentation and the vocals blend too much into the instruments. It's also a very heavy song to listen to, very heavy metal, which I don't typically go for. There are some exceptions like Lordi, Blind Channel, and most recently Caria, but in this instance, it's not my personal taste, and putting my taste to the side, it is a bold choice, and for what it is, it has an unexpected flavor that I think will speak to a particular group of people. Putting my personal taste aside, this is a good quality entry, well polished, and I think Ireland needs more of this risky and chaotic music in its Eurovision selection. Listening to the live performance, I was absolutely blown away. I love this song. I was shocked over how much I enjoyed the live performance over the studio, and I think it's because I heard more of Ailsa's vocals compared to the studio cut. Now, please hold your gasps until I explain exactly what I mean when I say the following. This song borrows elements from the UK entry in 2006, Daz Sampson's Teenage Life. The performance is a recreation of a classroom setting where five of the six performers are dressed in traditional school uniforms with twists of pink and green colors. The sixth performer, who apparently is her brother, acts like a schoolteacher, trying to teach Ailsa how to count from 1 to 8 in the Irish language. I love that the teacher goes from trying to keep the crazy performers away by using the yardstick as a spear to just breaking down and giving in to the chaos. Now, let me be clear. I loved this performance. This is what Daz Sampson's performance should have been. The performance takes the studio cut and explains it visually, which really helps me to understand the meaning of the song, especially the Irish language portions. I love the style, and these instrument players actually have a good purpose to the entry, and they don't even need backing dancers. This entry is fantastic all around, and I think is the biggest improvement going from studio cut to live performance. The fifth entrant is next in line with the song Love Like Us.
It's the way you walk, the way you dress. You can say whatever, cause you say it best. And I swear I'll never mess this up, cause I'll never find a love like us. I can wash your lips, stick on my face. But your kisses, well, they last for days. And I swear I'll never mess this up, cause I'll never find a love like us again.
The first instinctual thought I had when I listened to this song is, this sounds like 2016. Ireland sent Nicky Byrne with the song Sunlight, and that song didn't qualify. I have to be honest, this song, in my opinion, wouldn't qualify either. This sounds like a generic, safe, middle-of-the-road type of song that Ireland keeps sending each year, and I completely lost focus listening to this song. I commend the band for putting themselves out there, and I'm sure their music appeals to many people, I'm just not one of them. Watching their performance, this felt even emptier than the song. There is no heart and soul in this performance, it's just five random guys on stage. This is One Direction on the verge of breaking up, and this has Louis Walsh written all over it. And considering he is responsible for this act, that doesn't surprise me. They have no chemistry. It feels like five solo artists being thrown together. Joker Out from Slovenia had a chemistry, a camaraderie, and this has none of that. Just like the performance on stage, my reaction is empty, and I'm just going to move on. The sixth and final entrant is Erica Cody with the song Love Me Like I Do. I was lost, I was breaking, was all in my head, but I know what I'm feeling is right. I'm awake and I'm taking it into my head. I finally feel so alive. No one can let Let's not confuse this song with Love Me Like You Do by Ellie Goulding. This is Love Me Like I Do, which already has a better message. The song is all about realizing the power you have to love yourself better than those around you, which I can get 100% behind. While it's important to maintain relationships, both romantic and platonic, it's also important to maintain the relationship with yourself. The song has a great beat and has a twinkle of the 1980s, which has been prevalent in the 2020s. Not a bad thing, but just an observation. Overall, this is a good entry, but I have concerns when comparing it to other potential Eurovision entries from other countries. If Ireland wants to qualify, it has to ditch the safe and mediocre route and send songs that stand out. Let me be clear, I don't think this song is bad. I think it's a step up from mediocre. She has a great voice, and I will listen to this song on repeat. I'm just worried about how it lines up with the competition in Malmö. Watching the performance, my first reaction was for the backing dancers. They reminded me of DJ Crazy Times, the Slovakian rapper that did the Planet of the Bass song, which I obsess over. The goggles and the overall theme of the song just reminds me of that, and I absolutely love it. One thing that does bother me to no end is that Erica literally stole Brooke's outfit. If you go back and look at what Brooke and Erica were wearing, it looks identical. I know it's not the same outfit, but it's kind of the same style. Getting back to the entry, I thought it was pretty good. Again, it mirrors the studio reaction I had. It's just a step up from mediocre. I don't think this would stand out on the Eurovision stage. I think Erica performs it well, and she looks great on stage. It just feels a bit empty and safe, which Ireland doesn't need. And those are the six entrants of the Eurosong 2024. Overall, I will say that there were no bad songs. I was able to listen to all six songs without reaching for the off switch, unlike last year with one infamous entry, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. I will say that in the lineup, I have a clear ranking. There are songs that feel empty and not meant for the Eurovision stage. There are songs that are decent tracks, and if this was 10 years ago, maybe they would stand a better chance. And there are songs that I was shocked over how much improvement took place by adding the visual performance. Remember, this is a competition, and I will disagree with Sonia, not everyone is a winner. So let's go through my personal rankings. Starting in sixth place for me is Next in Line with Love Like Us. This song is just too generic for me. Again, I want to stress I don't hate the song. The vocals are good, the track is alright, but it feels so safe, and I don't feel their chemistry on the stage, and it feels like a repeat of what Ireland has sent in the past. And from my perspective as a non-Irish Eurovision fan, I want Ireland in the grand final, and I want Ireland to stand out, and this entry just doesn't. I would be curious to see what other entries didn't make the Eurosong final list. This song just screams Britain's Got Talent and just doesn't take any kind of risk. I sincerely hope this isn't one of the two fast-tracked entries because I sincerely dislike the idea of fast-tracking entries in general, and that just has to go. Fifth place for me is J.Yellowl and Toshin with Judas. As I stated earlier, I'm not a fan of rap music, and I feel like my perspective on this song is shrouded in ignorance. But from my perspective, this song is missing polish and feels incomplete for me. The performance is also lacking that extra something, and it almost feels empty. The backing dancers added something that was missing from the studio version, but it just isn't enough to make an impact on the Eurovision stage. I think J.Yellowl and Toshin are going to be great in the Irish music scene, and I think this song just isn't the right fit for Eurovision. It's a good fit for something else. I just don't know what that is. Fourth place for me is Isabella Kearney with Let Me Be the Fire. Again, this feels very middle of the road, and the performance lacked any substance. It added nothing to the studio track, and it felt like a wasted opportunity to have something artistic and more representative of the song. The song is decent enough, but it lacks the energy I need in a song like this, and the colors just made everything blend together, and I'm already annoyed with how Portugal 2023's look turned out. I don't want a repeat of that with this entry. I put this fourth because the song has a bit more polish and emotion compared to the other two, but it's still too middle of the road for me. Third place for me is Erica Cody with Love Me Like I Do. This is a good song, well put together, well produced, and it has that step up from mediocrity that points the performance in the right direction, but it just doesn't go there for me. There is no standout element of this performance. While I'm not looking for a gimmick, I am looking for better musical and visual representation. Have something that speaks to the soul of the song about loving yourself and putting yourself above the wants and desires of other people. There is empowerment in the song, and Erica has a great look, it just doesn't go far enough for me. Second place for me is Bambi Thug with Doomsday Blue. This song breaks the threshold of mediocrity, and we have reached musical intrigue. Hooray! The reason why this is my second place is because it only goes halfway. The chorus loses the energy that the rest of the song provides, and I want more demonic, screaming, angry, howling vocals rather than just dropping down to a smooth, emotional, and regretful sound. Bambi's look is iconic, amazingly perfect for what I want the song to be, and the backing dancers add an extra dimension to the performance. It's a fantastic entry and clearly turned my head, especially with the LED wall effects, and we need more of this kind of music vying for Eurovision. Of course, my top pick for Ireland at Eurovision is Ailsa with Go Tobin. This ticked all the boxes for me, and then broke down those boxes and turned them into confetti. The live performance took the studio version, which confused me, and turned it into absolute visual and vocal perfection. I love the inclusion of the Irish language, and the visual elements added to what I thought the song needed, a clarity that allowed me to understand the song better. This is my top pick because I don't think this performance needed any changes whatsoever. It was perfection for me, and I would not change a thing about this performance. Of course, those are my thoughts, and they didn't exactly align with the thoughts of either the juries or the public. Bambi Thug won overall, and I support Ireland's decision to send them to Eurovision. They were my second place, and I see the appeal of the entry, and I hope they get the resources and support needed to bring that extra dimension to Malmö. I'll reserve my thoughts on the entry in the context of the semi-final for my semi-final reaction episode, which will be in April. Now comes the scalding hot tea that I have been dying to throw at the wall. What in the filtered word were the international jury members thinking? Did they get their scores in reverse order, or were they listening to the same songs we were? Because clearly the jury's scores, in my opinion, were incorrect. There were only four members on that jury. First off, put in more jury members if you're going to have juries in the first place. Second, these people are delusional to put Next in Line as their top pick. Again, not hating on the band themselves, but in no universe is their entry the best out of that six. Now, I know that the juries were voting on separate performances and not the one in the night, which I think is also incorrect. They should be voting on the live performance on the night. But I am questioning these jury results, and all four jury members as a collective unit. Especially when the Irish jury put Next in Line in last place, sharing my ranking of that entry. The international jury, in my opinion, was completely out of touch with the public. One of the jurors was the head of the Luxembourgish delegation for 2024, and if that's their musical taste, then Luxembourg needs a new head of delegation ASAP. Oddly enough, both the international jury and the Irish national jury matched two of the televote rankings each, with the international jury agreeing with the public's fifth and sixth place, and the Irish jury agreeing with the public's first and fourth place. So perhaps I can't be too harsh on the international jury, but considering the public put Next in Line in second place with the televote, which I simply don't agree with, I'm still throwing the tea at the wall. I don't know the general demographic of the televoters, but all I do know is that I don't agree with their ranking of that entry, and I'm glad that Ireland didn't end up sending another generic track to Eurovision. Looking back at my rankings, only my fifth place matched the overall results. At the end of the day, Ireland has chosen their entry, and there is solace in the fact that both the public vote and the Irish jury vote chose Bambi Thug as their winner, and that to me signals a confidence in their performance. I am happy for them to be representing Ireland, and I still have massive respect for all six artists. None of them had bad vocals, and the courage they showed by putting themselves through the process deserves recognition and respect. To close my thoughts on Eurosong 2024, I'd like to offer my thoughts on the lead up to Eurosong 2024 and the production as a whole. Again, I recognize that RTE is struggling at the moment with controversies and financial struggles, especially with the recent controversies that have been popping up, so I know they can't put in the resources that we all want them to put in, but I'm still airing my frustrations regardless, hoping that when RTE returns to a more stable place, they can take a serious look at the way they support themselves at Eurovision. To start, all six entries were revealed on The Ray Darcy Show, a chat-based radio show on RTE Radio. This took place over the span of 5 days, meaning that one entry was revealed each day, except for two entries being revealed on the same day. Now, my initial thoughts were positive. This radio show was going to talk about the entries for a week straight and promote the artists exclusively on the show. I tuned in to the first Ray Darcy Show, and I waited. And waited. And waited. And I was met with disappointment. The reveal of the Eurovision entry was simply a segment in the larger show. I listened to the whole show thinking it was a Eurovision special and that the whole program was centered around Eurovision. Instead, it was simply another segment, lost amongst discussions on organizing mice, banking fraud, and other nonsensical topics discussed by the public. Look, as much as I want to respect the interactions of callers to the radio show, simply reducing the reveal of Ireland's entry into the world's largest international televised music competition into a side segment is the biggest insult I have ever seen and is a disservice to the Irish music scene. For goodness sake, have a dedicated 1 week show. 7 days long, 1 day for each entry, followed by a seventh day to discuss overall impressions of the act as a group. Look, I know that RTE is struggling with funding, but my goodness, when you're sidelining the world's biggest international event into a talk show on the radio, there's something wrong with this picture. The Eurovision podcast puts in 10 times the effort that RTE does, and I'm sure they don't even have the same resources that the broadcaster has even in their current state. Eurovision knows how to promote Ireland in Eurovision. They did a 7-part episode series interviewing each act and then doing their own fan-based Eurosong. That is how you do PR for Eurovision. Seriously, they need to be in charge of RTE's public relations division immediately because they are way more relatable and reliable, and they actually have forward-thinking reporting with their Eurosong coverage. They dedicate themselves to the Irish perspective on Eurovision, and if RTE even put in half the effort that they do, I imagine they would do better. A huge part of Eurovision is the promotion, the social media and the promotional programs that put the artist's music out in the public, who are going to be the ones deciding whether Ireland is in the grand final or not. Eurovision ends up providing way more coverage compared to RTE, and I commend them for the work they do. Seriously, go check them out. They are amazing at what they do. I hope one day to work with them on a collaboration because it would simply be amazing. This sentiment also unfortunately blends into the Eurosong 2024 show itself. As I mentioned earlier, it was hosted on a special edition of The Late Late Show with Patrick Keelty. Now, I admit this is the first time I've watched Eurosong, so I can't compare it to previous editions. Patrick was amusing enough, but there are so many elements of the show that were problematic. First were the panelists. The show had Arthur Grenlier, a Dancing with the Stars judge, Louise Duffy, a radio personality, Sonia, who represented the UK in 1993, and Gerald Farley, who was a comedian. After each performance, Patrick would ask the panelists for their opinion, and for a majority of the time, they were trying to be polite and avoiding any direct criticism of the entries. I'll admit there were some critiques given, but they were given in such a way that it was meant to be as nice as possible, which just felt disingenuous. I felt they were unneeded, and it felt more like a peanut gallery than anything else. Whether I agree with their remarks or think they're out of touch is irrelevant. I honestly think that having a panel comment on the entries is just unnecessary in a national final, especially when they won't provide constructive critiques and instead opt for the whole everyone is a winner vibe, which I think many people are sick of. The one part of the show I didn't mind was when Patrick sat down with each contestant and chatted with them, like Eurovision does in the green room during the show to fill for time. It was nice to have the additional camera time and for the public to see the non-performance side of each entrant. Now, again, I know that RTE is struggling for money. I've said this like a billion times already. So when I say this, I say it with the understanding that they needed the money and I understand why they did this. I don't have to like it, but I understand why. The grocery chain Spar and Eurospar ended up sponsoring the show, at least I assume they sponsored the show, by giving everyone in the audience a hamper of their products, which was accompanied by an advert given by Patrick after Kalusha Orchestra's performance on the stage.
Now, just because we are choosing our winner in studio tonight doesn't mean, folks, that we've forgotten about our studio audience this evening. Oh, no. Because you're all winners, it says here. Our friends in Spar and Eurospar want to let you know that Great Value is closer than you think, so they have launched a new campaign to give shoppers the best possible value through the massive range of Spar own brand products, which can be up to 33% cheaper than branded alternatives, and they're all available in any Spar convenience stores and Eurospar supermarkets with 470 stores nationwide. So, to mark all of that, they want our studio audience to sample some of their tasty treats. So, they have given us a lovely hamper stuffed to the brim with Spar range favourites worth over 100 euro. And the good news is, there is one for everybody in the audience. We got there.
This to me was as cringy as the peanut butter incident. If you want to know more about that, ask Eurovision and they'll tell you. Adding product placement in the middle of a Eurovision national final is the saddest thing I have seen, and I've seen San Marino's national final, which is as basic as it gets. Ireland needs a standalone national final show, even as basic as San Marino's. I know, finances, struggles with the resources, these are all realities which are forcing RTE to use pre-existing shows to host Eurovision national finals. But I disagree with people who think it's a good format. It's not, and the sooner that RTE can manage its own national final show, the better. I'm not asking for a Melody Festivalen, I'm simply looking for Una Voce per San Marino as the baseline. More acts, more jury members, more resources and support, and get rid of those awful product placements. And those are my thoughts on the Eurosong 2024. Some controversial opinions, I'm sure, but I was honestly surprised at how some of the entries were elevated by the visual performance. I wish all six artists the best of luck in their future endeavors, musical or otherwise. Of course, you know what I think of the songs, but what do you think? Let me know which act was your favorite by voting in our Spotify poll or on our Instagram post for this episode. Thank you so much for joining me on this bonus episode of ESC 101. Our usual content is still on schedule for this coming Friday, where we're exploring one of the venues which hosted the Eurovision Song Contest. Stay tuned for Friday, and I hope to see you then. You have been listening to ESC 101. See you next time.